Well, amen. Y'all ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read you a scripture. It's Exodus 23, verse 17. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. Amen. We do it 10 or 11 times a year, but that's what we're doing. We got all the men together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're doing. So save that one. You can write that one down. We're going to have a manly class tonight. Yeah, amen. More power. Y'all can turn to Mark chapter 10. Okay, now, it's a manly class. We like machines, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Who doesn't like machines? Testosterone, you got to like a machine. Now, what if I told you that this was a time machine? Yeah, I knew somebody would laugh. But you know, this stool has passed through more time than anybody in here in the room.
Wow.
It was made over 100 years ago by my great-grandfather, okay? So it's passed through over 100 years of time. Okay? 100, over 100 years. When this was made, Orville and Wilbur were still trying to get off the ground at Kitty Hawk, okay? Now, you say, oh, well, passing forward through time, that's easy. I can do that. How about backwards through time? That would be the real trick, right? You could go backwards in time. If this was a real time machine, what would you want to go back and see? What manly thing would you want to go back and see? Lincoln. You would want to see Abraham Lincoln. He wants to see Moses part the Red Sea. Manly things. How about, y'all didn't mention sports. Wouldn't y'all want to see Wilt Chamberlain score 100 points in a basketball game? No? You want to see Franco Harris in the Immaculate Reception? I mean, nobody saw that live. You can only see it on the replay. But you'd get to watch for it. You'd know it was coming. How about Babe Ruth, 1932 World Series? He says, I'm going to hit a home run right there. Bam! And he does. No? Okay. D-Day? D-Day. Well, maybe from a safe vantage point, you know. Gettysburg? Would you like to be standing there? Whoa! And watch Pickett's charge collapse against the Union lines and fail? That would be cool. Again, I'd be standing back, safe vantage point, behind the cannons. Okay. Okie dokie. Well, what if this really was a time machine, okay? Let's see. Where would you want to go? No, that's not right. When would you want to go? Are you ready?
Yep. No, ready.
Oh! Oh, you can leave it off. Thank you. Okay. My first choice would be to go and see Jesus. That would be my first choice. Imagine that. You get to see Jesus walk around. Do miracles. You hear him teach. Even get to go up and talk to him. Ask him a question. Become his disciple. And get to walk around with him. That would be a cool thing, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Lights again, please, Maestro. Okay, Mark 10.
Come on. Come on, Steve. Come on.
Verse 17. As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good?
Wow.
No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. I've heard these recently somewhere. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Okay. The rich young ruler. Okay. He got to do what we just talked about. He got to see Jesus in person. He got to walk up and ask him a question.
Wow.
Okay, and he must have heard about him. Maybe he had actually seen him from a distance. And he got to go up and actually ask him a question. And he was, and Jesus said, come follow me. He gave him the opportunity to become his disciple.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Wow.
Amazing. Disciple of Jesus. How many people in here are named Peter, Andrew, Paul, James? Raise your hand. Just one? I thought there'd be more. Okay. No, any of those. How many people know somebody with those names? Okay, there we go. Now, how many people know someone named after the rich young ruler? Hey, we don't even know his name. Okay? You know, and he passed up a chance to become a disciple of Jesus. That's just, you know, he missed the opportunity of a lifetime, didn't he?
Yeah.
He missed the opportunity of a lifetime. My title tonight is, how spiritual do you want to be? I asked this question in our first teen parenting class several weeks ago, and I thought it was a good enough question that I would ask it to the men tonight. And again, it's not a question, a heavy question to make you feel guilty. It's to inspire you. How spiritual do you want to be? How close to God do you want to be? How much like Jesus do you want to become? You know, how far do you want to go in your Christian walk? Because, you know, we can still be close to Jesus today, even though we can't see him physically like they could back then. He still promises he'll be with us. We still have an opportunity similar to what the rich young ruler had. And that's what I want us to inspire us to think about tonight, amen, our spiritual aspirations as men. I have another machine here. Okay. Y'all ready? It's the Collier meter. Okay. The Collier meter. Now, I'm not sure that needle will move, but anyway, like many men, I am graphically challenged. I don't draw very well, but what the Collier meter is designed to make us think about is measuring our spirituality.
Wow.
Where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? And again, I'm not talking about an absolute scale like Jesus is 10 and Satan is 0. I'm just talking about your life. Where are you and where could you get to? What would be a 10 for you? What would that be like? That's what I want us to think about. You know, something we could really attain, that God could really use us to do. What would that be like?
Amen.
And that's what I want us to think about. Where was the rich young ruler on the scale? Okay? Now, he wasn't a 0. He obeyed the commandments.
Yep. Right. Yep.
He probably went to synagogue regularly. He probably tithed.
Wow.
I had someone tell me recently that they thought they were a reasonably good Christian. Well, I think the rich young ruler was a reasonably good Jew. And he even was spiritual enough to go and want to ask Jesus a question.
Right.
But he didn't want to go any further. When he heard the answer, there was a limit to his spirituality. He drew a line. So that's why I put the meter on a 3. I sort of figure maybe the rich young ruler's a 3. You know, he had some degree of spirituality, but he drew a line. He didn't want to become a disciple of Jesus. And that's a scary place to be. Scary place to be. So I know we have some folks here who aren't disciples of Jesus, and I just wanted to encourage you to do that. To take that, not miss the opportunity like the rich young ruler did. I don't think they're even listening to me back there. And John's not in here to rebuke them, but, you know, that's the opportunity that we have, you know, to be a disciple of Jesus. And I hope people don't miss out on it. And that we urge our friends and our relatives who aren't, you know, don't let them miss out on it like the rich young ruler did. Okay. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll come back to our meter. Okay, most of us in here are disciples. Okay, we took the step the rich young ruler was unwilling to take. We made Jesus Lord. We decided to follow him for the rest of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. And I commend you all who have done that for doing that. I'm glad I did that.
Amen.
But you know, I'm not going to stop there. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. I think some translations say, as if smelling of smoke.
Wow.
You know, you just barely, you know, sort of like at the circus where they jump through the ring of fire. You know, you just kind of barely make it. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about here, after we become a disciple, the quality of the spiritual life that we build. You know, the quality of the spiritual life that we build. You know, if we're we've gone beyond the rich young ruler on the spirituality meter, you know, we're up to a 4. You know, we're, you know, heading towards a 5. We've gone beyond, broken through that barrier the rich young ruler wasn't willing to. But then the question becomes, how much further are we going to go? You know, what kind of spiritual life are we going to build from there? You know, he talks about hay and straw. You know, defective building materials. You know, we all know that from the 3 little pigs, right?
Yep.
Hay and straw doesn't work out.
Yep.
And then he talks about, we got the wolf out there, right? Then he talks about gold, silver, precious stone, the good stuff. The stuff that lasts, the stuff that builds that builds solidly on the foundation. And I just want to open it up for, what would be some examples of building our spiritual lives with hay and straw? What do you think that would be like? Just Sunday, okay. Coming to church only on Sunday, 1 hour a week. That would be building. That might only be building with a single strand of hay. I'm not sure. Other things? Yes, sir. Okay. Being too worried about money. Okay. Only praying when you're really in need. Todd? That was his. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. There you go. Ooh, that's one. That's serious. Yes, sir. Okay, ignoring or neglecting your sin? Just the churchgoer? Okay, your Christian life doesn't spread beyond when you're at church?
Just not persevering when tough times come.
Okay, giving up?
Knowing and teaching the Bible but not actually doing what it says.
Okay, well that was a bad one. Yeah, being a hypocrite, teaching it but not doing it. Ooh, that means I got to do it if I'm teaching it tonight. Okay. You know, I think of things like, you know, shallow and inconsistent times with God and prayer and the Bible. You know, someone mentioned coming only on Sunday, missing church or frequently or being habitually late, not taking advantage of discipling relationships. You know, we've got a lot of spiritual people in the room here that can help us. And, you know, not taking advantage of that, you know, sort of neglecting that, spending too much time in front of the TV or on the Internet. Somebody mentioned the money being too absorbed with our job. You know, these are all kinds of things that can happen where we're not really building with precious materials. We're building with hay and straw. You know, what this passage implies, or it almost directly says, you know, is that we could make it to heaven, but nothing we've tried to accomplish in our spiritual life survives. And that, you know, you think about that for a minute. If you're trying to build a spiritual marriage, if you're married, or a spiritual family, if you have children, or spiritual relationships, if you're single, or just laying a foundation on your life, if you're young. And he's saying here, if you don't build with precious materials, that stuff can be burned up. It won't survive the test. You know, that's scary to me. That says, maybe, that I can be spiritual enough to get to heaven, but not spiritual enough to get people around me there. Not spiritual enough maybe to get my children there or other relatives that I wished I could get there. Or not spiritual enough to get, you know, other people I work with. Or not spiritual enough to build anything solid, to help build the church, you know, build a ministry. That's what he's saying. You know, it can burn up and you might make it, but just barely. You know, if you just sort of stay content down here in the 4 or 5 range, and say, as long as I make it, I'm okay. Well, you'll make it, but you'll have missed out on opportunities to help other people make it.
Come on, Steve.
You know, you've missed out on and on things. He says here, you'll suffer loss if you do that.
Wow.
You'll make it, but you'll suffer loss. Now, I don't know how that is. I don't know how you get to heaven and suffer and have suffered loss. You know, I guess we'll have to see how that works. But you know, what I want to do, I want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones.
Amen.
And that's what I wanted to encourage you guys tonight to think about. You know, because, you know, everything we talked about, if you just turn it around, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. You know, being eager to be at church, being here all the time, every chance you can. You know, being in your Bible and praying on a regular, consistent basis. You know, having spiritual relationships with other people. You know, turning off the TV. You know, and doing something more important than that. You know, all these things can help us build with gold and silver so that our lives will be more solid, so that we can move up on the meter, you know, up to a 5, a 6, a 7, where we're able to help other people.
Amen.
You know, able to help build the church.
Amen.
Able to help, you know, Jesus accomplish His purpose on earth. Or have a spiritual marriage, either now if we're married or aspire to one in the future if we're not. You know, to build a spiritual family. You know, help build a spiritual church. That's what you know, what we should aspire to as men. I want to build with gold and silver and precious stones, because it'll have fruit, it'll have results. I'll be able to see it'll survive. God's work will be done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking at a real manly scripture here.
Amen.
Familiar scripture. See, I want us to sort of raise the bar tonight. You know, sort of aim higher in our expectations of ourselves and each other. That's something we went to the ICOC Youth and Family Conference in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, and that was one of the themes. I don't know that it was a planned theme, but it was just something that was kind of emphasized, is that we want to raise the bar. You know, raise the standard of discipleship that's taught in the Bible. And not lower the standard, not, you know, have a low standard, but have a high standard of what God can accomplish in our lives.
Amen.
You know, it's like Richard said on Sunday, if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. You know, it takes some effort on our part, but then the result will be there. God will help us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control or goes into strict training in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul here, we like sports, we're men. He talks about sports here. He talks about running a race. And he's writing to the Corinthians. They had the Isthmus, I can't say that, games, sort of a version of the Olympic Games right in their city where they had races. So they, you know, running a race. And he talks about boxing. I'm not into pugilism. But that's what he's talking about. And he says, I want to run to win. We can understand that. You know, we want to win. We want our basketball team to win in the playoffs, right? We want to win. We don't want to lose. We want to land some blows. We don't want to just shadow box. We want to land some blows for God. You know, land some blows on Satan. We don't want to run aimlessly. We want to make some progress. Get somewhere. Right? See some things accomplished. See some things in our rearview mirror that we leave behind.
Amen.
And that's what he's talking about here. And it takes some effort. You know, it takes some self-control. Hey, I know we don't always like that word, but that's why it takes some self-control. It takes some strict training, I think the NIV says. You know, we got to have a standard. We can't just be lax. We have to expect things of ourselves in order for these things to be accomplished. So the question, how spiritual do you want to be? You know, if you want to build with gold and silver, you know, it takes some of this, some effort, some self-control, some discipline, you know, to have a quality time with God every day. Well, you've got to schedule that. You've got to set your alarm and get up and make that time happen, you know, and not just fall back asleep and run to work. You know, it takes some self-control. If you want to have some quality time with another spiritual person, you know, you got to get it in your schedule. You know, you got to make the lunch appointment or the evening appointment or the weekend appointment and, you know, make it, write it down on your calendar or on your, you know, PDA or whatever and make it happen. You know, it takes some self-control, some organization to do those things so that you can accomplish what it is you want to accomplish spiritually. We can't just let it slide and assume something's going to happen. You know, it takes some effort on our part. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And Paul warns us here. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, yes, he warns us here we could be disqualified.
Wow.
You know, we talked before about we making it and our work burning up, but if you sort of stay down here, you're really at the edge of the line, right? You could fall. He says you could be disqualified. You could not make it. You know, if we don't grow, if we're not building with quality materials, we're sort of putting our own, not just everything else in our life, but we're putting ourselves at risk too. And I don't want anybody to be disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified. So, you know, we want to move on. We want to build with quality materials. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy. I'm going to have to take this off. It's toasty in here. Second Timothy, what do you want God to do with your life?
Come on, bro.
What are your aspirations? What are your spiritual goals? How useful do you want to be in God's kingdom? That's what Paul talks about here in 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 20. Says, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Amen. So here Paul's using a very similar analogy. He talks about again, gold and silver, you know, quality materials. And then on the other hand, wood and clay, less quality materials. And he talks about honorable or dishonorable uses, noble or ignoble. You know, you think about in your house. You know, in your house, there's some stuff that you have that you use for dishonorable or ignoble uses, right? What stuff that you have in your house that you just use for dirty, scrungy kind of uses? Okay, yeah, stuff you clean the bathroom with, yeah. Okay, and those old clothes you wear for yard work or whatever, or painting the house. I got one at some of that. Or how about the laundry hamper? That's where you put the dirty clothes until they get washed, you know. And he's talking about, you know, there's stuff like that in our house. And he's comparing that to our spiritual lives. You know, there are, you know, if we're just sort of the laundry hamper of the church, we're not terribly useful to the church, right? And, you know, and I'm not sure I want to go back into the bathroom again, but, you know, you don't want to be the ignoble use, you know. I mean, God can use even a weak Christian, right? God can use us. You know, he might use this as an example. Don't be like that, brother. That's a use. You know, all things work together for good. Don't be like that, brother. Look what happened to him. You know, no. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the bad example. You know, don't be like him. God might can use that, but that's not. I want to be a noble use. You know, you think about things in your house that you could that are very useful. We just brought a brand new refrigerator. Our ice maker went out. A new refrigerator was kind of in the budget anyway because we've been remodeling the kitchen. Well, a refrigerator is a very useful thing. You know, this guy's got gadgets, you know, that the water and the ice come out the front. We've never had that before. I know you guys are like, we all have that. What's your problem? And it's this cool silver color like the other appliances in our kitchen. And I mean, it's a lot, it's, you know, the doors open this way, and so it fits better than the other door, which opened that way and kept bumping into the counter. So, you know, there are things like that, you know, useful. It has lots of purposes. So you can freeze stuff. You can cool stuff. You know, helps you prepare dinner or a snack or a cold drink on a hot day. You know, it's useful.
Yep.
You know, that's what I want to be in the kingdom. you know, like he talks about here, he says, useful to the master, ready for every good work. Wow. You know, the more we build with gold and silver, the more we become a gold and silver vessel, the more God can use us to help people.
Amen.
You know, we become more and more equipped, more spiritual, more like Jesus. So I can help a much broader range of people. And I can be more effective with the people I do help. You know, so that's what he's talking about. He's encouraging us, or he encouraged Timothy, and through that us, you know, to be the noble vessel. And what does he say you have to do? You have to cleanse yourself from the ignoble. You know, you have to get rid of sin. Right? You have to get rid of sin. What are some sins? Okay, we're men, we can talk in here. What are some sins we need to cleanse ourselves from to be more noble for God?
Anger.
That's a big one for me. Anger. Laziness. That's another one. Somebody said pride. Lust. That's a big one.
Greed.
Deceitfulness. Lying. Somebody said selfishness. Somebody said impurity. All these things are right. That's what we need to purify ourselves from. You know, you talk about pornography. You know, that, you know, I was telling my kids this recently. You know, when I was growing up, you had to go find pornography, right? It was in the store. You had little things over it. They wouldn't sell it to minors. You know, you had to go find it. It was hard to find. You know, I worked in a drugstore as a teenager, so I got it for free. Whoop-de-doo. Turned out that was a curse, not a blessing. But today, it's everywhere. It's probably, if we wanted to, it's probably in this room somewhere. Someone has a PDA or a computer that we could just plug up right now. It's everywhere. You know, and we've got to fight that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to fight that. We've got to, it's in our house, it just pumps in almost no matter what you do. You put the blocks on there and the stuff oozes in around the blocks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everywhere. You could turn on just a regular news site, Fox News or CNN or whatever, and there'll be a Victoria's Secret ad right there. You know, it's like just, you can't, you know, the TV comes on and there's stuff. What Steve was telling me, he was at work the other day at Turner, and they were talking about different networks in Europe, and they were showing some network that was showing a Victoria's Secret fashion show, you know, and he's at work having to do this or whatever, you know. It's everywhere. So we've got to fight that stuff. And other things, you know, we've got to be open about this stuff. He says cleanse ourselves.
Yep.
You know, how do you cleanse yourself of sin? What do you do? Confess. Amen. Flee from it. Run from the situation. You can say something. Cut things off. Okay.
Pray.
Ah, there you go. Memorize some scriptures like we're going to do. That'll help. Repent. I taught a class on that a couple of months ago. You get change your mind. Well, you get convicted first, right? There's the emotional. And then you got to change your mind. And then you got to change your behavior. That's repentance, right? So we got to do that. Talk to other people. Get them to pray for you.
Yeah.
Now, we know what to do. This isn't rocket science. My guess is, you know, most of the people in the room could have made this list. But we got to do it. We got to actually do it. Cleanse ourselves of sin. Not neglect it. Somebody mentioned that earlier about, you know, just neglecting to get around to it. You know, it's got to be a priority. I mean, we all know what the biggest sin or two in my life I need to deal with right now is. Well, deal with that one. You know, you might say, oh, that's a long list. Well, start with the obvious big one and work your way down the list, you know. And you get more godly. You become, you know, you move from that ignoble. You can get out of the bathroom into, a nicer room in the house and be more useful to God. Amen. Amen. Okay, another manly scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, earlier. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. I just got it written. No, I'm sorry. It's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. No, that's not it either. I'm lost. Yeah, it was 2 Timothy. There you go. It's written down wrong here. 2 Timothy 2. I thought I was staying in the same book. Verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and by what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. I'm sorry. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. This scripture is a nice summary of what we've been talking about. You know, first he says, be strong in the grace. We're men. Be strong, but in the grace. You know, we're not talking about works, righteousness, or salvation here. We're not talking about earning our way to heaven. We're saved by grace. We're saved because God loves us. That's what we want to motivate us. But it does take effort. And that's what Paul says here. We got to be like the soldier. You know, we can't get entangled in civilian pursuits. We were just talking about it. You got to get rid of sin. Can't get entangled in civilian pursuits. Talks about the athlete. We talked about that. Runner or the boxer. You know, you got to train. Compete according to the rules. Land some blows. You know, run. Win the race. Take some of that. And then he talks about the hard-working farmer. Okay? So what does a farmer have to deal with that gets at his crops? He has to deal with weeds, right? Like the parable of the sower talks about weeds.
Right.
What do you got to do to those weeds? Okay? Okay? So you got to deal with the weeds, okay? We got a spiritual weed whacker right here. And some other people in this room that can help you whack out some of those weeds, okay? So that's what we got to do. We got to be the farmer that gets rid of the weeds so the crop can grow. He talks so we can have a first share in the crop here. You know, we got fruit in our lives. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I want. More love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Fruit of the Spirit. You know, fruits of repentance. We talked about that, you know. Times of refreshing come when you repent. And then the fruit of winning other souls to Jesus. I mean, that, you know, that's awesome when that happens, when you're involved in helping people come to God. So, amen. We got one last scripture to look at, 1 Corinthians 16. I learned a new word, a new Greek word, while I was at the conference in L.A. Okay? Andridzomai. There it is, okay? I got it written down in Greek and English. I was hoping Gary would be here and he could make sure I pronounced it right. Andridzomai, okay? And I believe it's only used once in the entire Bible, right here in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Act like men. That's that word. Okay, in the King James it said, quit yourselves like men. Not sure what that means. Acquit, I guess. Act like a man. Be manly. That's what the word means. Man up. That'd be a good translation, right? Man up. We're men in here. And that's what we've been talking about tonight. How spiritual do you want to be? You know, how much do you want to be like Jesus? You know, how much do you want to build with gold and silver in your life? How much do you want to be like that athlete that wins the race or knocks out the enemy? How much do you want to be like that hardworking farmer that gets rid of the weeds and has a crop, you know, sees the result, where you make it to heaven and everything you built or much of what you build comes with you, people. You know, you've built something that lasts, that stands the test. That's what we're talking about tonight. You know, and if you do that, well, I turn it around. If you do that, you can get up to a 9 or a 10 on the spirituality meter. And that's what I want to inspire us to do. You know, what for you would be a 9 or a 10? You know, I'm not talking about being perfect, but what would for you would be the most spiritual you could be? What would that look like? You know, write that down. What would that look like? Your relationship with God. What would that look like? Your relationship with other people. You know, your worship. Your service to God in different ways. What would that look like? You know, we all have some elements of it. None of us are a zero. You know, we all have some of it. But what would it look like if we got up to a 9 or a 10? You know, and go for that, okay? Okay, what's the first step to moving in that direction? Ross McKenzie is an elder at North River, and he talked at the Swamp, the Father-Son Retreat last year. And he said, you know, he's had this picture of how he wants him and his family to end up you know, his funeral. He has this picture of what he wants his life to have accomplished. And everything he does, he's trying to think about, is that going to bring that picture about, or is it going to hinder it? And I thought that was a cool way to think about it, you know. Well, what's a 9 or 10 look like for me? And then how do I get from here to there?
Wow.
You know. And as he says here in the verse, we got to act like men. You know, we can't make excuses or be wimpy or, you know, just sit around and be passive. We got to be men. And we got to be strong, he says here. Got to stand firm. And we've got to do everything in love. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that we could get together as men tonight and we could look at your word. God, I pray that you would really inspire us, really encourage us, that we could all be more what you want us to be, that we could make some specific decisions, some specific plans. God, help us to do that. Father, show us what we can do. Give us some victories, Father, that we can all be more spiritual and really build things that will last and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.